All right. This is the last Sunday, the last day of the year 2023. Glad you're in church with us. Glad you're here to worship the Lord and to learn from His Word. And so with that, I want to ask you to take your Bibles out and turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're going to be in James 4, starting in verse 7. Now, the whole emphasis this past year has been, I will. And every sermon has had an I will something after it, except for the Advent series. The message title this morning is just, I will. And we've got to decide, are we going to move forward in our walk with God and grow closer to Him, or are we going to stay stagnant? And I hope the answer is going to be, I will. I will move forward. I will do whatever I need to do to get closer to God in 2024 than I was in 2023. So if you would stand for the honor of reading God's Word, James chapter 4, starting with verse 7. And James writes, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd have a sincere heart today, that we would hear from you, that we would want to know you, that we would have a desire that if you would search us and know our thoughts and see any wicked way in us, that we would repent of that and that we would confess and humble ourselves before you, God, so that we might be clean. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts, open minds, empower wills this morning. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and to accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We have been reading in the Old Testament. We read Jeremiah, we read Isaiah, we read Amos, and in Jeremiah, I don't have this on the screen, just listen to the words that he speaks. In Jeremiah 29:13, he says this, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me when you seek me with what? All your heart. Not just some of it, not just part of it, but with all of your heart. Isaiah 55:6, he says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Amos 5:4 says, "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live." Now, James is writing this to a church. He's writing this to a group of Christians who aren't behaving like Christians. Okay? Do y'all realize sometimes Christians can misbehave and they start not acting right? And so James is writing to a bunch of believers who they're worldly. There's divisions among them. They're backbiting. They're talking about each other. They're showing favoritism to those who are rich and shunning the poor. When someone wealthy or someone important in their town comes in, they invite them to sit at the best seat while they reserve the worst seats for those who are poor. There's immorality going on. There's all kinds of slander going on. It's just a group of Christians that aren't behaving the way they're supposed to do. And James is writing to them to let them know that they need to straighten up. They need to get right with God. They need to do some things different than what they're doing, because they're not bringing honor to God. They're bringing dishonor. And so he gives us some actions to take if we want to get close to God. Now, 2023, God has done amazing things in the life of our church. And I know he's done some amazing things in your lives as well. And the question is, what's 2024 going to look like? Are we going to just be satisfied with what God has done, or are we going to step into what God is doing? Do we want to take a step back and get further from God, or do we want to lean in even further and get closer to God? I don't know what you want to do, but what I want to do is I want to lean in and get closer to God. What about you? If no one else wants to do that this coming year, I will. And so James gives us some actions that we need to take. And the very first thing that he says there in verse 7 is to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What does it mean to submit? It means to stop resisting anything that God wants to do in your life. It means to order your lives around God's authority and will. It is a military term meaning to fall under rank. When the private is there and the general comes walking in, who has the rank? The general. And if he gives a command, what's the private do? Follows the command. Does the private question and say, well, I'd really like to know why you want me to do this. Huh? No. Jake, is that what happens? No. Right? You fall under order. If someone outranks you, then when that higher rank gives you a command, your only job is to what? Follow. And what James says is that God, he outranks you. He is above you. His word is over you. And when he says for you to do something, to say something, to think something, to behave in such a way, that's what you do. You don't have to question God. You don't have to debate God. You don't have to wonder why. Lord, if it's clear in his word what you're supposed to do, you fall under rank and submit yourself and say, yes, sir. You with me? Submit to God. God has his word. It's very clear. The things of the flesh, pretty evident. The things of the spirit, pretty evident. It's pretty clear when you read scripture what the things of the spirit are and what the things of the flesh are. And God says, die to the things of the flesh and walk in the ways of the spirit. For those who walk in the spirit, Paul says, will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And so you've got to choose. Will you submit to God? Or are you going to stiffen your neck and lift up your head in pride and say, I will submit to no one. I am my own God. I am in charge of my destiny. It is about me and my desires, not about what God wants. So you gotta decide who you're going to submit to. Are you going to submit to God? Or are you going to live out your ways? Am I going to bring my will under his control and yield to his command, or am I going to try to live my life in my own pattern, in my own way? Am I going to adopt the world's philosophy or the word's precepts? He says, submit, therefore, to God. So what's the first action we got to take if we're going to have a closer walk with God? Is what? Submit. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And then he gives us another action to take, and he says what? Resist the devil, and he what? Will flee from you. Now, in 2024, challenge, bring your Bible with you. I want you to see it in the text. This isn't Pastor Grant's thoughts. This is scripture. This is what James is saying. He says to submit to God And then he says, resist the devil, and he what? He will flee. Okay? What does resist mean? To take a stand against. To have a made up mind. We will read later in the year the book of Daniel, but I've preached through Daniel before, so, and some of you have read through the book of Daniel, so some of you are familiar with Daniel. Daniel had three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, and when he brought them into his schooling, the Bible says that Daniel and his friends had a made-up mind that they would not defile themselves with the king's food. They had a made-up mind. They already knew where their line was. They already knew the decision that they were going to make before they were presented with the temptation. They had already decided where their moral compass was, and they were not going to give in to the temptation. That's a huge way to victory. This is not something just for youth, for you all to do. This is something for all of us to do, even as adults. We often challenge our young people to draw a line of moral integrity and say, I will not be involved in any type of sexual immorality. I will save myself and I will keep myself. And that way, on the day that I am married, I can give myself to my spouse and I can be pure. But there's other lines than just that one that we need to continually draw. When you get married, then there's lines that you draw to say, I am not going to cross this line because I value and love my wife, and I'm not going to ever make that phone call. I'm not ever going to go on that other fling, and I'm going to keep myself in a way in which I honor God by loving my spouse the way that he has called me to love. There's lines of integrity that you must draw to say, I already have my standard, so that when temptation comes, I can resist that because I've already set it up. Resisting means to stand against. It says in Ephesians, put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee. The devil, our adversary, the god of this world, the wicked one, the tempter, the accuser of the brethren. Those are words that describe, titles that describe our ancient foe. Resist the devil. Stand against. Don't give in. One way you don't give in is you submit to God and you resist. Peter says your adversary, he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. He is coming after prey. He will come at your weakness. He will come at the things that entice you. You know, if you're going to fish, and you're fishing for different types of fish, you're going to use different bait. And a fisherman knows what bait to use to catch the kind of fish he is trying to catch. Satan knows the bait that you like, and he will dangle that. Now, there are some times that the devil comes, and it's an obvious temptation from Satan. And we can recognize that and say, be gone. You know, no, I'm not going to do that. And then there's the subtle temptations. Because the Bible also says that he masquerades as an angel of light. And sometimes the temptation doesn't look sinister. It doesn't look wicked. It doesn't look evil. You know, you're really not supposed to feed your dog's food from the table, right? How many of y'all have dogs that you own? And you're really not supposed to give them people food. But Ruby, she's so adorable. When we're eating at the table, she comes right there at my feet and she sits and looks up at me. Those big brown eyes, those puppy dog eyes. And she starts wagging her little tail, just begging for some what? Food. And I've got to decide, am I going to resist this temptation or am I going to give in? Am I going to give in and give her a little, a few bites or pinches of the hamburger or the steak? Or I'm going to say, no, that's not good and healthy for the dog, and I withstand it. Well, there are times I give in, and I give her little bites of food. But there's times when I say, nope, I'm not going to give you anything. And she can sit there, she looks at me the entire time I'm eating. And I just don't give in. We get up, clean the plate. And you know what happens at that moment? She leaves the room, goes to another room. When you are tempted, it doesn't matter how good it looks or how it's making you feel. If it's not of God, you resist it. I don't care how many times it's wagging its tail at you, looking at you. You say no, right? You say no, you resist it. I don't care how many times you're at a store and you can't afford it, but it wags its tail and says, buy it, buy it, buy it. You need it. You know you need it. You know you need it. But you know you can't afford it. You can't afford it. But you know you need it. Oh, you hear the words? Buy. Anybody have that little dog that tempts you any time? You know, oh, yeah, we'll get it. And just swipe it, and you just swipe it, and you just swipe it, and then you get the credit card, and shoo, you've been hooked. Right? You resist it. Resist the devil, and he will flee. When the devil starts speaking at you and saying, call her, text her, call her, nobody will know, private message. And you know it's not of God, and it's leading you to a way that's not going to honor God, you say no. You resist the devil. You do whatever you need to do to say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that, not buying that. I'm not biting on that bait. I'm not going to let you hook me and get me caught in something that I don't need to be involved in. You resist the devil, and he will flee. Two actions, though. Submit to God. Fall under his rank and authority. And then resist the devil. And he will flee. That's a promise. You do those two, that will happen. Now, he also says this. Look at the next verse. Verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will what? Draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, look at it in your text. Look what he's doing. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then he says, and draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Who must submit to God? You. I can't submit to God for you. You can't submit to God for me. You have to submit to God. Who has to resist the devil? You. When Satan starts tempting you, you have to resist. Who has to draw near to God? You. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We got to draw near to God. What does that mean? Come close to God. Hear from God. Desire him. If you want to destroy a relationship, one of the best ways you can destroy a relationship is to not speak. Cut off all communication. That will destroy a relationship. Just break off communication. And that relationship will begin to die. If you're never speaking to God, we call that praying. If you're never consistently speaking to God, praying to God, and reading from his word, then guess what? You can't say you're drawing near to God. How do you draw near to God? Well, one way is you have to set time to pray to him. You have to talk to him. If you're going to get to know God more, you have to spend time in prayer. If you're going to get to know God more, you have to read from his word to hear what he says. And then once you hear from him and you spend time with him, then you walk in obedience with him. You walk with him. That's the problem sometimes in marriages. When we're dating, we get it. When we're dating, we're trying to always draw near, aren't we? Huh? Trying to draw near, write little love letters, do little special things, buy some flowers for no reason. It's not a birthday, not anything, just to draw near. And we date, and then we get married, and then after several years pass, several anniversaries later, kids come. What do we sometimes forget to do? To draw near and to talk with one another, to date as a married couple. We stop that. We're so busy. Oh, job here, job there, kids here. And we stop communicating and we stop drawing near to one another. And what happens? We drift apart. That happens. That happens in our walk with God. Remember when you first got saved? Oh, man, you loved drawing near. You loved reading the Bible. You wanted to know more. You wanted to pray. You wanted to learn how to pray. You loved going. You loved all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, you just start drifting. You stop praying like you used to. You stop obeying like you used to. You stop worshiping like you used to. You just stop drawing close. Draw near to God, and he will what? Draw near to you. Okay, here we go. Some actions. Ready? What are they? Submit, resist, and draw near. What else does James say for us to do? Look at the last part of verse 8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Man, don't you just love James? I mean, that hurts my feelings. You know, you're calling me a sinner and double-minded. Aren't you supposed to encourage me? The word is supposed to cut us like a surgical knife between bone and marrow, piercing our hearts and our thoughts so that all that is killing us gets removed out of our life so that we can be healthy in our walk with God. He says, cleanse your hands. Now, as Baptists, we have a doctrine called priesthood of the believer. And the priesthood of the believer simply means this. It means that every single one of us are priests of God. that we have direct access to the Father through the Son. We don't have to go through any other person to pray. That we all can come boldly before the throne of grace because Jesus is our great high priest. And so we can go to God with confidence and boldness because he has prepared the way. But we've read the Old Testament, we've read Leviticus, and we've read about the tent of meeting that Moses constructed. And before the priest would go into the Holy of Holies, what did they do before they entered in? They washed. They would ceremonially wash their hands, symbolic of purifying themselves before they enter into the presence of God, because to bring sin into the presence of God would have been blasphemy and it would have been dangerous, for his holiness would have killed them instantaneously. So they had to purify themselves. He says, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. And he calls us sinners and double-minded people. He's speaking to a church that's not acting very Christ-like. So oftentimes in our life, we don't act very Christ-like. So what do? We need to get clean. We need to remove the dirt. Now, I'm getting some things out of my life that I don't need. About 4 or 5 years ago, I did a 40-day fast, and where I just ate one evening meal and I cut out all fried foods and all sweets and sugars and all of that. And this year I've got to do that again. I'm just tired. I'm tired of getting a new jacket and it not fitting like it should. Anybody say amen to that? Huh? Hey, anybody have that experience? And I'm like, this is not, no. I don't want to step on the scale and go, well, I've never seen that number before. You know, that's going to stop. Okay, so for the next 40 days, I'm eating clean. I'm cleaning my eating up. No junk food for me. No matter if the donuts say, hey, Grant, Krispy Kreme, whatever. I'm saying no. I'm resisting the devil, and I'm going to let it flee from me. I'm getting that out, right? That's what I need to do. So in about 6 weeks, you're going to see a new pastor, okay? Because I'm getting that out of my life. What are some things you need to get out of your life? You know, we clean, some people clean their house and they clean it very well, while other people are hoarders. We got any hoarders in the group with us? Any hoarders? So you don't want to admit it. You're like, well, no, I'm not a hoarder. Because two things, they don't believe they're hoarders. That's right, Sean. And because here's how you know you're a hoarder. You ready? I'll help identify this for you. If you say, man, I've got all this stuff. So the logical move is, I wonder if I can rent some storage space. And so if I have so much stuff that I need to put other stuff in storage so that I can keep my stuff, you may be a hoarder, okay? Now, there's times when you just need to get rid of stuff. Just do a thorough cleaning. Are there any people that say amen to that? Just, you know, get stuff out of the house. It don't need to be here anymore. It needs to go to Rumpke. It doesn't need to be in my living room any longer. Don't need to be in your room. Get it out, right? Get the junk out. Get it out. That's how we've got to look at our life spiritually. What in our life, what attitudes, what thoughts, what actions, what behaviors, what are the things in our life that is keeping us stuck, slumbering, going backwards, rather than moving forward in the ways of God? I don't know about you, but I need to do an inventory and say, this has got to go, that's got to go, that person has to go, this has to happen. I'm getting this out of my life because I want to live clean. I want to clean myself, get rid of that so I can purify my heart. purify your hearts, he says, you double-minded. What's it mean to be double-minded? It means to have mixed motives. It means to try to play on both teams. You know, Sunday morning we get up, woo! We put on Jersey Jesus, you know? And we got Team Jesus, woo! Go Jesus, yeah! Jesus, yeah! And then Monday, you know, we get up and we put on Jersey Me. I've already given Jesus one day. Now Monday's my day. And we live it for ourselves. We do that. And we're trying to live on two different teams. We're not submitting to God because then we submit to us. We don't do what God desires. We do what we desire. We're not trying to see what God's direction is for my life. We're setting in the direction for our life. We're worshiping the unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. Right? We worship self. We're double-minded. We say we want to know God, but then we do things that contradict it. Oh, I just want to know God more, but then I want to live how I want to. Oh, I just want to draw close to God. Yeah, but I got to go over here first. Oh, I want to draw close to God. But you know, all my friends. Oh, I got to draw close to God. But you know, this is what this person says about it. Who cares what the Bible says about it? It's double-minded and we can't play on both teams. And James is writing to a bunch of Christians who are backbiting, they're arguing, they're gossiping, they're in immorality, they're greedy, they're selfish. And he says, you got to decide which jersey you're wearing. Because if you want to go close to God, you got to submit, resist, draw near, and come clean. Now look at what he says. Look at verse 9. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Well, why would he say that? Well, because apparently the Christians there that James is writing to, they were just living it up. They were doing it their way. They were living in the lust of the flesh and the pride of their eyes and the deceitful desires of this world. And they were just having a good time. I mean, they were dancing, they were having parties, they were just living it up. And James says, if you are living in sin and willful disobedience and living completely contrary to God's standards, then there is nothing about your life that should be joyful at the moment. Now, he's not saying that as Christians we shouldn't have joy, that we shouldn't have some fun in life, that being a Christian isn't just being in misery. He's saying when you are living outside of God's will, there's nothing to joke about. Instead, you should be mourning over your sin. You shouldn't be dancing in your pride and marching in your parade. You should be on your knees and in prayer and in mourning, saying, I am violating a holy God. If you are willfully living in disobedience, That's not the time to laugh and tee-hee and post things on Facebook to make it seem like your life is just dandy. No, that's the time when you should hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and be broken over your sin and come before Him in mourning and weeping and confession and repentance. If you're living in disobedience to God, why glorify that? And why would I ever like someone's post if I know what they're doing is sinful? Amen, preacher. Keep preaching. I believe I will. Because here's what we got to do. Are we going to get serious with this or not? Because I don't know. If no one else wants to get closer to God in 2024, I will. He says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Humble yourself. Humility. A character trait that our world does not like to celebrate. Humbleness. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Mourn over your sin. Mourn over your double-mindedness. Mourn over the fact that you're not drawing near. Mourn over the fact that you're not resisting. Mourn over the fact that when you come to God, you have dirty hands and a dirty heart, and you're cherishing sin while you're trying to sing songs to the Savior. That's not going to work. Now, guess what? You can have as much God as you want. You can have as much of God as you want. How willing are you to submit? If you really want to experience God, how, be honest, how well are you really submitting to God's authority over you? If I really want to experience more of God, how much am I submitting to the authority of God over my life? You see, here's what James would say to us preachers. You can preach about it, but not do it. And if I preach about it and not do it, I ought to be mourning. Resist. How well are you resisting? Am I really resisting sin? Am I resisting the temptation? Have I said, no, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not thinking that. I'm not believing that. I'm not saying that. I'm not participating in that. I'm resisting that. That's not the way that I'm going to live. Are you drawing near? Are you really drawing near? Not with a double-mindedness, not with, you know, I want to get close to God, but then I want to do all this stuff that's sinful and wrong as well. That doesn't work. How well are you cleaning the junk out of your life? Getting all the garbage, all the dirt, all the habits, all of the excuses, get them out. Throw them away. Put them on the curb. Let Rumpke take them to the dump, and don't go out and visit it and bring it back into the house. Amen? And then humble yourself. Say, Lord, forgive me. Here's what you need to know. This is for real. You can either humble yourself now and receive the mercy and grace of God. Or you can stiffen your neck in pride, and instead of resisting the devil, you can resist God. And you can go your whole life in disobedience. But then when you stand before God on judgment day, you will then be humbled before a holy God. And there will be no mercy. And there will be no grace. For there will only be judgment and justice done that day. So if I were you, I would humble myself now while he may be found, so that I might be forgiven of my sin. This morning, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, Satan would love to blind your eyes and keep you from the truth that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. He will whisper into your ears right now, oh, you're not that bad. Oh, you don't need to know Jesus. Oh, you don't need to believe what he's saying. He will lie to you right now to keep you from salvation. And if you're a believer, right now, Satan, he doesn't want you getting closer to God. Oh, he fears when Christians step into the plate, dig in their cleats, and they're ready to swing. Now, he fears that. So this morning, you got to decide, how much of God do I really want? And what am I willing to do to have it? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God who forgives. You are a God who redeems. And Lord, we are thankful for the reality that you are a God who wants to know us. So, Lord, I pray for two groups of people here this morning. Lord, I pray for those who do not know you. I pray, God, that right now your Spirit would open their eyes to the reality that they need you. They need salvation. They need forgiveness of sin, and they need to be made right before a holy God. Lord, I pray for those who are believers, who are living like the people in James' day. They may be greedy, they may be selfish, they may be gossipers, they may be living in immorality, they may be embracing ideologies that go against your word. I pray, God, if that's the case, that we would be broken over our sin and that we would mourn and weep so that we might receive mercy, that we would humble ourselves and let you exalt us to the privilege of mercy. And so, Lord, have your way. Holy Spirit, move today. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.